Yeah, come on, everybody. I just feel like there's a bunch of people today that came ready to have some church today, man. You just feel, man, just the strength, the energy this morning. So good morning. Welcome. It's our first week in a brand new series that we are calling Greater Things. Come on, everybody shout, Greater Things. Ooh, yeah. I mean, you guys sound good. And so I've been really looking forward to this series and what God has for us. And this has honestly just been a series that's been close to my heart because I came into 2018 just with a level of expectation for God to do way above and beyond what I've ever experienced. And however God wants to do it and however God wants to use me and however he wants to move, man, I just want to be a part of it. Amen. And so that's just where my heart's at, and I want to give a shout out to, again, second service people that are making the permanent move to first service. I've been talking to the second service folks, y'all laughing, because some of y'all are second service, and you're here, and you're like, that's me. So, but nonetheless, thank you guys. We're making room. We have just been at full capacity, and, you know, everybody's asking when are we hitting back in three services, and so it'll be soon here. Pastor Kyle's just making sure, as I've been recovering from all my physical stuff. I just want to be transparent, just making sure I'm ready for that. It's a big commitment, and I want to make sure I'm using wisdom. Amen? And so we're about there, but we are excited for that. And saying that, though, on Easter, it's just around the corner, everybody. Are you ready? And yeah, we're excited for Easter around here. It's going to be awesome, and that's going to be powerful. And so I want to encourage you. We are doing three services on Easter. We are doing services at 9 a.m., 10:30, and 11:30, Easter Sunday morning. And so we will have some invites to you that'll be available next week, and you'll hear a little bit more about that. So I just wanted to plug that ahead of time and keep that in front of you, that we will be three services so you can start planning that way. Again, 9 a.m., 10:30, and 11, and noon. I'm sorry, I don't mess that up. 9 a.m., 10:30, noon. Whew, it's a mouthful, all right? And we'll remind you, I want to encourage you, if you're not following us on social media, make sure you do that. We just really keep that updated, and we'll have that out there as well before you, but I want to encourage you. And then again, next week, we'll have invites for you to just invite people. And I'm encouraging you, get them here on Easter. It's going to be powerful, and we're just believing for God to do some incredible things, greater things, come on, in the lives of people that we know, in the lives of family, friends, coworkers. Let me get some friends and families, coworkers, man, that you want to see take next steps. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you with that today. And then lastly, man, we had just a fantastic time yesterday in the gymnasium. We had our men's breakfast, and man, it was incredible. It was awesome, and the power of God was there. We had great food, by the way, Cosmos. I don't know any Cosmos fans out there. It's local here, and I think they're one of the best. And so the guys ate well, and so we, nothing like some Jesus and a little bacon. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you right now. And so thank God for it. We had a great time, though. It was awesome. And we'll have another one in June. So, guys, if you missed this one, I would encourage you. We'll give you the next date as we get a little bit closer. And then we're having our first ever men's night, conference night in August that we are prepping for, getting ready for. And that's going to be amazing as well. But let's jump right into the message here this morning. And we are doing this series on greater things, greater things. And in this series, we're going to just encourage you to believe God for greater things. How many in a place that you're not satisfied with where you're at, but you're believing God for greater things? And even if you're not there and maybe you're kind of struggling to raise that hand, I'm just believing by the end even of today and throughout this series that your faith will be bolstered up in a place that maybe it hasn't been. That you would go into a place in your relationship with God that is new, that you are expecting greater things. Not just hoping for it, but expecting. No, it's going to happen. And either we take God at his word or we don't. And so I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for God's word, and his word is alive and well right here in 2018. Can I hear a good amen? And so in John chapter 14, this is really going to be our theme verse for this series. Says this, Jesus talking here, said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things. Everybody shout, greater things. And these, because I am going to the Father. Now, I think it's pretty radical, pretty cool, that we have a Savior who not only is speaking to us and saying, hey, you're going to do the same things I did. You have that ability, that same power, because you know me, to go and to do the same things I did. But not only that, I want to see you do even greater things. And I think it's the true heart of a father to see his kids go farther in Jesus' name. And so Jesus was fully God. He was fully man on this earth. And so there's a passion in him that says, man, I want you guys to take what I've given you, and I want you to go do even greater things. And the reason why we can do that and we're available to do that is because Jesus said, because I go to my Father, because I'm praying for you, because I'm believing for you. And so I don't know about you, but I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to just pray about it. I want to see greater things in my life through our church and your families. Miracles come about. Come on, somebody. And just trust God and know that greater things is part of the promise that he has for our lives. Everybody shout, greater things. Because, again, I'm going to my Father, and I will do whatever you ask me in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, and you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Greater things. Believing, not just settling, but we're believing God for greater things. And so I want to take a few minutes today, and we're going to spend the next few minutes looking at a life, the life of Moses, because this is a guy that went through some stuff. How many of y'all been through some stuff? How many of y'all maybe kind of going through some stuff? Yeah. And so here he was in a place where he honestly could play it safe. He was the son of Pharaoh. He really had it made. And I titled this message today as a part of this Greater Things series is very simply that we are going to be a people who are going to live in the faith zone, not the safe zone. Can you say that with me? Live in the faith zone, not the safe zone. You'll get it by the end of the message, I'm telling you. And so here Moses was, though he's in a place. He abandoned, though, what I love about him, the safe zone, and to pursue the call of God in his life. And I think there's something within all of us that oftentimes just will want to play it safe. We just want to play it safe, take it easy, whatever the easy route is. And sometimes I think there's something within all of us that just says, man, I don't know about that. I think just kind of hanging here is probably the simple thing to do, and just playing it safe. But here's what I've learned about trusting in feelings. That's why you can't be led by your feelings, can't be led by your emotions. It's dangerous. Trusting feelings is safe, but here's what I know. It can be as dangerous as wearing skinny jeans, man, after you gain 10 pounds. Yeah. So I'm trying to help somebody. Who the person next to you, say he's trying to help somebody. Yeah, you don't want to just play it safe, man. All right? And so Moses in Exodus chapter 3, Moses, here he'd been, and just kind of setting you up where he's at in the journey. He's been in Pharaoh's house, killed an Egyptian. He's now serving his father-in-law, Jethro. He's around 80 years of age. And just track with me in these verses. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And this is really Christ appearing to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, man, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. I mean, no, that'd be an awful strange sight for you and I to see a bush not engulfed in flames. And then the next part of it was when the bush starts talking to you. Yeah, that might be a good TV episode somewhere. That's why I love the Bible, man. It's just packed with so much cool drama in it. Because if that were me, I may have thought maybe I was smoking something on the way in. I don't know, but that's just me. And so when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses said, here I am. And for me, it'd be more like, there I go, because I'm not waiting for the second act of this, you know. And so, don't come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. It's a walk of humility is really what that means, and that signifies. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I love this part. I may want to underline this. I think this is real good about just our God. He said, I'm concerned about their suffering. I'm concerned. And just because sometimes you and I feel like God doesn't care, I'm telling you, he is drawn to those who are suffering. That's just the compassion and the love of our God. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. The calling of God on your life comes without repentance, Romans chapter 11 says. In other words, meaning you can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide from God's plan. Every one of you here today has a call of God on your life. God's hand is on you in a very powerful way. And I don't know what that is for you, but here's what I know about God, that he has something very specific for every one of you in this place. Something for all of us that we are called to do, that he has given us a mission to do. And the call will always be there. It's always going to be there. And quietly calling out to you. One of the things I've learned about God, and if you haven't learned this, you'll learn it, that God doesn't shout at you. He doesn't scream at you. He doesn't yell at you. And the thing about God is he speaks, Scripture says, with a still, small voice. I believe the true art of learning is the ability to be able to listen and to listen well. And so what happens when somebody whispers to you? You have to do what? Draw close. And that's the heart of our Father. God is saying, I want you to come closer to me. If you're going to hear my voice, you need to draw close. And so God is challenging us as his people. He's saying, I want you to draw close to me so that you could hear my voice. For when your problems overwhelm you, jot it down. Man, we're going to live in the faith zone, not the safe zone. Amen? And so what I want to do is I want to take a few minutes, because it's really easy just to live a life that's safe. And it's easy to just kind of go through the motions, and it's easy to just kind of do life. And I'll just be real honest with you. This has been, man, just kind of an unreal week for me, in a good way. And it's caused me to reflect a ton, because over the last week, I've been a part of two funerals. I did one, and then I was a part of another. And then if y'all saw this past week, Billy Graham obviously went to be with the Lord. And I don't know if you saw some of that funeral, but man, it was powerful. It's pretty awesome to have the name of Jesus broadcasted to a nation. That's exactly how Billy Graham wanted it, too. And I think it was powerful, and people were impacted, thousands. I mean, it was all over television, which moved my heart so much. And one of the things about Billy, even till his death, he planned that whole funeral. I heard his son Franklin talking about it. He said, from beginning to the end, he said, this is the way Dad wanted it. He said, because Dad wanted the name of Jesus going out again. He said, one last opportunity for him to make a difference for Jesus. And if you listen to it, I thought it was really powerful. And it just got me thinking, just being a part of this in this past week, and being a part of these different things, and celebrating life, both of the funerals I was a part of, man, we were celebrating life. Two incredible women going on to be with Jesus. But it got me thinking about not how will I die, but how will I live? What am I going to do and continue to do with my life? I'm 33 years of age today. What's the next 33 years of my life looking like? When I'm 66, this is what I was thinking this week. I thought, man, when I'm 66, what am I going to look back and see? What kind of difference am I going to make with my life? And I don't know how much you and I, how much time that we have. And you've heard me preface this, because I think it's important that we realize that Scripture says we just have, man, but life is a mist. It's a vapor. It's here and it's gone. So we have to realize we just don't have a lot of time. So I'm encouraging you. And as your pastor, I'm always going to push on you. I'm always going to challenge you to do and to go after God more than you ever have. Because there's too much potential locked up in you. And you know where the greatest potential really is? A lot of our greatest potential is in our graveyards today. Because people die with potential. People die with vision. People die with dreams. But I'm just encouraging you, however much time that you have left, that you give God your everything and say, man, I'm going to go after God with all of my strength and all of my life. And I'm not going to waste any time pursuing after him. And I'm certainly not going to play it safe, which is what I'm going to talk to you about. Because safe will do this. Number one, it'll keep you trapped in the past. Want my guys to come on up? Who's going to help me? Keep you trapped in the past. And to be real honest, man, my heart is drawn to people who are struggling here. My heart is drawn to people in a place that find themselves constantly reminded about the past in their life. I think some of people's greatest challenges in life is trying to overcome their past. And here's what I know. Our past is often like this, and this is what it can become. It's like almost being chained to a boulder and wrapped up in chains of bondage, because the lie of the enemy is to keep you and I in a place of being trapped in a prison, to hold us back and to keep us back We've allowed hurts. We've allowed unforgiveness. We've allowed issues. We've allowed struggles. And the enemy has done a good job for way too long trying to keep you and I locked up in chains and to keep us from God's ultimate plan for our life. And the problem is when we've allowed the past and we've allowed issues and we've allowed things to happen, we can only move so far without being tugged on the things of our past. And I want to point this out, and I want you to see this, because for some, your past or even your current issue has become a stronghold in your life. And I want to just kind of give you a real simple definition of what a stronghold is. A stronghold is really anything that won't let you go. It's that thing that you find that I just keep dealing with this. This continues to be an issue in my life. And every time I try to get up, just try to get up. You don't have to get up. But yeah, every time I try to get up, every time I try to move forward, it's always reminding me. It's always in a place that I'm thinking about, man, this thing is still a hold of my life. And a stronghold is the issue that keeps showing up again. And you wonder, man, is this something that I'm always going to deal with? And it's a lie of the enemy. It's a lie of the enemy to try to keep you and I wrapped up in a place of bondage with chains. That's why you got to jot this down. This is a thought that I was having this week, that you cannot let a failure or mistake keep you, though, from believing again. Because we all make mistakes. We all have failures. It's been a while since I've said it, but we all have issues. I've got issues, you've got issues, we all got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, then that's your issue. Sometimes it's good for Pastor Kyle to remind us, we all work on things. Amen, everybody? And here's what I know. When we're in messages like this, man, it's really easy to get excited, to get pumped up, jacked up, ready to go. Woo! But then when we leave the doors, man, the grind happens again. And we go back through the grind. How many know what I'm talking about? Monday's coming. Tuesday's on the way. Wednesday will be here before you know it. Thursday, Friday, then we'll be back here on Sunday again. One of the reasons why I know that you and I will keep coming back here is because we know and we are learning that the ways of this world, the systems, are broken and they stink. And it's not helping us. And the only thing that's going to help us is God in His Word to lead us in the life and the destiny and the direction that He has for us. That's why we keep coming back, because there's a part of us that knows that I'm not getting the answers that I need out there. And there's a part of me that's desperate. There's a part of me that knows that, man, I'm tired of staying locked up like this, that there's got to be more. These strongholds are not going to be my life story in Jesus' name. And so, realizing your potential often means you have to confront your past. For some of us, this is a year that God is getting ready to move you into some of the greatest freedom that you've never known. Because there's some of you, and then there's another section of us that God's speaking to get us there. There are those that are making decisions, there are those that are thinking about making decisions, and there are those that aren't making decisions. And I'm going to push on the ones that aren't making it and that are thinking about it. Because I'm just telling you, God has more for your life. There's so much more purpose. There's so much more passion. There's so much more that God has. And don't succumb to the lies of the enemy that this is all it's going to be. Because great-granddaddy, great-granddaddy, and granddaddy all struggled with it. But how about you being the one that bucks the stats and the history of family lineage? How about you being the one that says, man, enough's enough. I'm not just going to talk about living for Jesus. Man, baby, I'm going to do this. When it's raining, when it's sunny, whenever it is, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right for the Lord. And for some of us, it's like, man, we've done something. The enemy has lied to you and convinced you that you've eliminated the will of God for your life, and it's a lie. And today, man, we break the lies of the enemy that binds you in Jesus' name. Isaiah 43, forget about what's happened. And the only way you can forget about what's happened is by allowing and receiving the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life, because it's not something you're able to comprehend and do on your own with your own intellect. You and I are not that smart. We need His working power, His restoration. Y'all with me? So forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. See, there's a level of expectation that God's always trying to get us to, but we're constantly held back by what's binded us for too long. This was just last night. The Holy Spirit showed me this on Saturday night. I was texting guys. I was like, y'all, I need a chain. Need a chain. And y'all got a chain? I know it's Saturday. Like, I should have had this plan, but I just felt like God was showing me something. But this is how we've lived. This is how many of us, the strongholds of the enemy. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. Here's what safe will do. Number two is safe will keep you satisfied with today. Keep you in a place of just being satisfied and just, yeah, you know, I'll just do my normal routine. And it really, living a life of satisfaction really limits your expectations. Because you've come to a place where you've just settled and you think this is all that there is. When you have a God who is unlimited in his resources, who is unlimited in his power, who is unlimited in his strength, shall I go on? He's unlimited in who he is and what is available to you. The danger of satisfaction is we get complacent. And God never called us to a place of satisfaction. He never called us to a place of just settle here. The danger of complacency is we also quit learning. And in order to learn, we have to change. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are today. It's never too late to become what you might have been. I just feel like somebody needs to hear that today. It's never too late to become what you might have been. And so I got a question for you. And before the team throws up this question, I just want to ask it first. And I put it in your message notes. And here's the question. Have you settled in a place that God intended you to pass through? Is there a place in the journey that God was trying to bring you to, but you settled? And I'm just telling you, if you're going to believe God and going to see greater things, here's what I know. Jot this down. You can't stop in the middle. You've got to keep moving forward. Don't stop in the middle. There's more. Everybody shout, there's more. And I love this verse, and Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be filled. Come on, read it with me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There's got to be a level of hunger. And I pray before you leave here today that if that hunger hasn't been in you, maybe it's been a while. That's why you got to keep your eyes off of people and keep your eyes on God. But in the same context, hear me, you need people, which is why Satan will relentlessly always attack relationships in your life to try to lie to you and tell you you don't need anybody. Part of us advancing forward is not advancing alone. It's advancing together. We can't advance God's kingdom by ourselves. Even Jesus raised up disciples. He sent 12, then he sent 70, and it goes on. And so I'm just telling you, and I'm encouraging you today, don't buy into the lie of the enemy, because it's his goal to just hold you back and to keep the chains on us. But to refuse it and to open up our heart to what God wants. Because here's what I've learned about God too as I'm growing in this. To learn who God is requires you and I to adjust. God, here's what he does. He makes you move. And he stretches us. Doesn't always feel good, but it's always purposeful. He stretches us. And here's what I know. The stretching, and some of us are in a place which is like, man, I feel like I've been stretched. I got stretch marks. You know what I'm saying? Like I got him to prove it, Pastor. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, God is stretching us. Why? Because he's trying to enlarge in capacity for you and I to believe more, to receive more, and to do what he's called us to do. Because just sitting here on a Sunday, trust me, isn't helping to just empty hell. It's what we do through the week that really makes the impact as well. Don't get me wrong, this is important. But what we also do with our call and our purpose is just as important as well. That's why you got to find your design. That's why we have Growth Track, 11:15 now, every second service. You can come to 9:30, have you get your worship on, and then go in Growth Track at 11:15. Your design reveals your destiny. So we have to figure that out. Matthew 11 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Man, I like this verse. And the violent take it by force. There's a lot of haters in the world that don't like us. Do you know that? I've been in third world countries. I preached in them. I was in a nation some years ago in India. And you talk about some haters. I mean, I thought I was going to be a martyr in India. That's not what I signed up for. But when I found out that there were some radicalists that was out there wanting to kill us, man, our plans drastically changed. And I'm just telling you, and I'm just encouraging you, that we take it by force. Doesn't mean we get mean with it. That's not what that scripture says. It means we take the love of God. We take the heart of his of who he is and his spirit, and by force we invade the world. We help to advance God's work forcefully because, yeah, we're receiving attacks, but God is greater. Amen, everybody? And you know what? I was thinking about this week, and I pray this for you, that I pray that there's a level of discontentment of where you're at, not with your relationship with God, but in life and in your pursuit. I pray that you're never satisfied. I pray that you don't just have a life that plays it safe all the time. I pray that you don't stay satisfied with where your walk is at today with God. Are you with me? I pray you don't stay satisfied with just where your marriage is at today. Come on, where your family's at today, where your job is at today, where your kids are at today, where your career is at today. I pray we as a church don't get satisfied with where our city is at today. With the news and the stats and the statistics, we've just made up our minds in 2018 too. Not that it took us this long to get here, but God is building an army, and as he's assimilating an army, he's got people in different areas, and we just believe God has called us as a church to infect every sector of society in our city. One of the things that's happening through the last few weeks that you don't even know about, but just on your behalf, we've been meeting with some of these organizations. I released this a few weeks ago that we're going to be launching. We're going to be launching a prison campus here. We're hoping in the fall that they're going to get live services in there in the jail amongst men and women. Because the recidivism, I said it right. It's a hard word to say. You try to say it five times, it's hard. Rate in our city, in amongst our local jail, is at an all-time high. The average age of every young man, young woman in our jail right here in Down County is 21. That's a problem. We've reached out. We're having a lot of meetings right now because we realized how big the problem is in the church right now. I'm not faulting anybody for this, but the church needs to step up and do more. And we just said, man, we want to be that church. And we just thought, man, what would it look like if we brought in a Sunday morning worship experience and a Sunday message and broadcasted it to them? And we have our teams from our church that are assimilated in the jail with the women, with the men. And they had their own church experience, and they had their own church. And then our teams have been working hard already with organizations that when these men and women get out, that they just don't go out and go back to what they've went to. That's why they go back in. But to set up a new course of life. They need reach too, everybody. And to see their lives become a testimony of God's grace. And to reach them right where they're at. And so we just dreamed of a church, and I can't wait to be able to look in a camera every week and welcome those who are at the Allen County Jail. And let them know that you are not a project to us, but you're family to us. And that once they leave, that they have a church that they can go to and call home. And then they have organizations that we're in partnership with that they can go and stay at and receive the rehab and the help that they need. Come on, somebody. I want to be a part of that church that is bigger than us and helping people for the glory of God, a discontent. Three, here's what I know. Safe will keep you afraid of tomorrow. There's something God has for you that's bigger than your capacity. Moses said, man, God, I've been mocked. People hate me. They want to kill me. I can't do this. He even said it in chapter 4, verse 13. He said, Lord, please send someone else to do this. Like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just going to work my job. I'm going to do what you've called me to do, and I'm good. I'm good. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm good. Have you ever said that before? Say, God, send somebody else. I know I have. I've been in a place where I've said that. But Moses did. Jesus is even in a place where he said, God, if it's your will, let this cup pass. He even had a moment. But the safe zone will keep us from stepping out into the place God has for us. Living the God kind of life, involves risk. You can't fulfill your calling playing it safe. You can't fulfill your calling living in the safe zone, living in your comfort zone. And I love Pastor Josh. I mean, remember, Pastor Josh was here last week, preached a great message. And I was talking to him because he, not too long ago, went and jumped out of an airplane. Yeah, how many of y'all, anybody went skydiving in here before? Wow, you guys are incredible. Wow. So let me see hands again. That was quite a bit. I got lights. Man, look at all these people. You guys are amazing. You're my heroes. Like, I want to do it, but I'm just a wuss, you know? Like, for real. Like, there's always been a part of me for the thrill. But y'all, man, y'all get it. And so he was telling me about the experience, so you guys will kind of understand this. He said, yeah, we signed. I said, so you signed a waiver that said you might die if you do this, right? He's like, yeah. I was like, what'd you think when you're signing a waiver saying, man, I may die when I do this? He said, man, I was okay until I got up in the plane. Oh, talk to me. What's up? So he said, I got up in that plane. He was like, yeah, I was having second thoughts. Until the guy that was jumping with me was doing it with me, and I wasn't alone. He said, I didn't have fear anymore. He said, I'll be honest. He said, we jumped. He said, dude, it was crazy. It's like wind just up in your face. And he was like, he's got that Go Cam, or what's that cam called? The GoPro. There we go. Y'all so smart. And there he goes. He was just like, ah, yeah. And he said, man, he said, finally, it was like, he said, felt like a while. And he was like 20 seconds in. And all of a sudden I realized, like, the parachute hadn't went up yet. And he was kind of an older guy, Josh said. I was a little freaked out that he, like, passed out on my back. He was like, I'm starting to pray because I see the ground coming a little closer. And he said, and finally, he jerked, and it went up. And I thought, glory to God, I'm not dying today. But here's what I know. Safe says when you're 12,000 feet up in the air, you've got your parachute on, you've paid your money, got your suit on. Safe would say, hey, this is a perfectly fine airplane. I think I'm going home. Y'all can jump. But Safe misses out on the opportunity to jump out of an airplane and just experience that. Ah, you know, just that rushing feeling. Safe misses out. In 1 John 4, it says, you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in this world. Who's it talking about here? God is saying that my Spirit is greater than the devil that's running loose in this world, that no matter what comes at you, no matter what's in front of you, God said, I'm greater than that thing. You don't have to ask for victory. You don't have to push for victory. Victory's already in you. You fight from a place of victory. You fight from that place. And you need to remember that Jesus came to finally break. Let's see if I can get these off, Chad. Break these chains. Because these are heavy. Do you hear that? I mean, these ain't light. But he's come to break these chains that have bound us. Come on, Chad. Stand up with me, bro. And grab part of this. And I'm just telling you today, that for wherever some of us are, some of us have been, this doesn't have to be your story. That God desires to release us from our stuff and our sins and our issues and our addictions. But you've got to take the first step and just say, God, whatever it is from you, whatever I need to do, God, I'm willing, because I'm tired of the strongholds of my life. I'm tired of the chains that bind me. No more are they going to bind me, because I'm making a decision that this is finished in Jesus' name. We've got a God who over 2,000 years ago paid this price. Listen, we don't just celebrate Easter once a year. We celebrate Easter all the times of the year, because it's his resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, and that same power lives and is available in us. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Faith doesn't maintain. I'm going to give you this. I got to move quick. Faith multiplies. Faith doesn't maintain, it multiplies. Matthew 5, he gave 5,000 to one, 2,000 to another, 1,000 to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then left on his trip. The man who received the 5,000 began immediately to buy and sell with it, and soon earned another. The man with 2,000 went right to work, earned another 2,000. But the man who received 1,000 dug a hole in the ground and hid the money in Safe. Notice that. safekeeping. The master came back and saw that two of them had doubled what was given, but one of them played it safe. You read your Bibles a little bit more and you'll notice he got kicked out, man. God said, I ain't got time for just playing it safe. There's short time that we have to deliver the truth of God. We've got a city this morning that many of our city, we've got 380,000 people in the greater Fort Wayne area and only 60,000 are in church. Not good enough. Not good enough. That's why this church has become too small for us. God's doing something special. God's doing something powerful. It's beyond us. It's not about a person. But God is building, I believe, something that's powerful. And I'm just telling you, man, faith is contagious. But God calls our faith, us, to a place not to maintain, but to multiply. Everything that you see in Jesus in his ministry was all about multiplication, not just addition. Man, I wish I had some time to preach more on that. Feel that. Safe zone will rob you of some of the greatest opportunities. I love this. Tomorrow holds the same as today. God is in it, so everything will be okay. I like that. Be in the faith zone, not the safe zone. Jot this down. To live by faith, you got to recognize that God is already at work in you. The process of moving into the faith zone and not the safe zone is not normal. And hear me, you have to know what this is from God. You have to seek God's voice. Maybe God's calling you out to start a new ministry, new small group at some point. I don't know what it is, but you got to hear from God. Don't just do it because you think, this is a good idea. Let's get God's perspective and make sure it's a God idea. And get God's perspective and seek counsel, because that is always helpful. Amen. And just know, God is already moving on your behalf, whether you know it or not. Listen, let me say it this way. God is working on a solution before you ever knew there was a problem. That's how cool our God is. He was, before that problem even came about, he was already working on that solution. Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. Faith doesn't always mean that God changes your situation. Sometimes it means that it changes you for the purpose of God using you. To live by faith, you got to refuse to be defined by anything but God. Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose, look at this, he chose. He could have lived a lavish life. Could have just did whatever he wanted to do under his father and under Pharaoh's house. But he said, man, I chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. It doesn't mean that we just suffer all the time. There's just been this stigma out there for years in church. Well, once we come to Jesus, we just going to suffer. Just suffer all till Jesus comes. No. My God, I didn't sign up for that. And neither did you. But we're going to have tough times. But they don't have to stay tough. Because of who's on the inside of us? Greater. Amen. Are you with me? Greater. And the people of God, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. You just got to refuse to wear the labels that men and people try to put on you. And again, for some of us, the enemy's been lying to us for a long time. If this is who you are, this is who you're going to be. But in Jesus' name, take off the labels. Take off the chains in the name of Jesus, and refuse and declare that the only opinion and the only voice that matters is God's voice in your life. Your name is not based on your past, but on what God sees you. Refuse the label that's been spoken. Here's the last thing. Live by faith impacts others. It absolutely does. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. And like Moses, there's something that you are called to do that will change the history and the eternity of someone else. And I'm telling you, there's greater things. Next week, the message is going to be on greater miracles. I want the whites to come on up, guys. Would y'all give this incredible family a hand as they come up, please? Give me a hug, Devin. So these guys have been through their own journey. Over the last few weeks, our church has been praying for Devin. 11 years old, right? If I remember right, yeah. And literally fighting for his life some weeks ago at Parkview over here at the medical center. And just a freak deal, but an attack. I told Larry when I went in his room that first day, I went after, I was found out on a Sunday morning and went right after services and went over there and just prayed. Man, I just sensed the attack of the enemy, but in the room, I sensed the presence of God and the peace of God, and it was incredible. So I've just asked this family, because this is a powerful story of greater things. And I just believe even this story and this power, and Devin, I'm just telling you, my man, God's hand is on your life, son. And greater things are ahead of you. And God's going to continue to use you in ways that you've never even dreamed or imagined. And I'm telling you, just expect, stay close. Even at a young age, give your young years to God. You hear me? And I'm telling you, he's going to raise you up to be a voice. This whole family, Ben, I just love them very, very much. But just share, Larry, if you would, just kind of what happened and just kind of what took place. And then obviously the ending.
Sure. So he had a recurring fever for about a week, that no other symptoms, just a fever. My wife's a registered nurse, so we would give him Motrin, the fever would dissipate. Well, then it got to a point where other things started happening, like he was having pain in his thighs, and she said, well, I'm gonna take him to the pediatrician, see, just kind of get an idea of what's going on, because for her, she knew something was not right. So we go to the pediatrician. The symptoms were so vague, she really didn't know what to diagnose him with, so sent us back home. Well, that was on a Friday. Well, come that Monday, he was experiencing a extremely bad headache that when we gave him Motrin, it just didn't shake. So then she made the decision. It's like, I'm taking him to the ER. Get to the ER. They do blood work, found out he had mono. So for an 11-year-old, mono, you know, dad, first thing, I'm like, dude, you kissing somebody? What's going on? So once he reassured me that, dad, no, that's not the case. Okay, then I was okay. So they hydrated him with fluids, threw an IV, gave him Tylenol, the headache subsided. So at 11 o'clock, they released us to go home. We go home, thank God for his sister. She was adamant that he slept in her room that night. And around 2:30 in the morning, she started screaming, and my wife and I ran upstairs, and he was having a seizure. And he'd never had a seizure before, ever. So, you know, immediately we start praying over him. My wife calls the ambulance. They come out. Well, as they're putting him inside the ambulance to transport him to the hospital, he begins to have another seizure. So instead of us going to Parkview, they had to divert us out to Lutheran. We get there. Man, praise God for the attending physician on staff there, because when my wife began to explain what they were thinking it was, he said, no, he's too old to have a seizure, or to have a seizure that would be brought on by a high fever. So he did a spinal tap to find out that it was, looked like it was spinal or meningitis, viral meningitis. So fast forward, they transport us to Parkview, and the attending physicians there were phenomenal. I mean, they were specialists in every single pediatric area. And the thing that was interesting, when they ran all the tests, they noticed he had swelling on his brain as well as inflammation. And they really didn't have anything to treat it. There was no, I mean, they gave him antibiotics, but it was just preventative. They said, there's really nothing we can do. It's just time. And the thing that was interesting, when the neurologist saw him, she said, when she was walking out the door, she said, you just have to pray. And it's interesting when you're in those moments where, when all you have is exactly what you need. That's the thing. If she would have told us to write a check for $1 billion, we would have had an issue. That would have been an issue. But when she said, just pray, it's like, oh, well, we got that covered. That perfect. And we literally saw God move from the time we got into the hospital every single day. There was a book we read called When God Winks at You. And little by little, we would just see little winks periodically throughout each day. Whether it be my wife's walking through the lobby and somebody's giving her an angel that she didn't know these people from Hole in the Wall. And it's, everything's going to be okay. God's got it. Or she's walking in the Ronald McDonald House and a lady pulls her aside, doesn't know her from Hole in the Wall. your son's going to have a testimony. All of these things are happening. There was a young lady who the Lord put it on her heart. She comes up to the pediatric intensive care unit at midnight and said the Lord told her her job was to pray over him all night long. She sat at the foot of his bed at midnight and literally did not leave until 8:30 that next morning. And it was amazing. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit starts to reveal things to you where right before, I mean, he was basically comatose for 7 days. No anything, no nothing. And we had to look at this, our child, our baby, every single day and not be moved by what we saw. We could only be moved by what the Lord said in his word concerning him. That's all we had. And it's amazing when you take that stance of faith, how it infuses other people. Even the nurses, when he first came in, it was dire. You could tell by the looks on their faces. They're like, we don't really know. After a couple of days, when they saw the stance that we had, all of a sudden, their conversation changed. Oh, he's going to be fine. He's going to get better. And all of this, that, and the other. And so little by little, he just got better and better. One day, he started to sit up. Then the next day, he stood up. Then the next day, he walked. He went from not being able to swallow to feeding himself. Couldn't brush his teeth to brushing his teeth. So every single day, little by little. And one of the illustrations, one of the things that the Holy Spirit showed me was, he said, Larry, it's like your iPhone. When you have to get a system update, you have to plug it up and you have to literally leave it alone. You can't even use it. You can't turn it on. You just have to leave it alone. And he said, don't be moved. He's just going through a system update. That's all. A software update. That's all it is. And the very next day, he woke up. Then they transported him to the pediatric unit. And so we were there. And I'll never forget, my wife said, let's get into praise and worship. He was asleep. So we started praising God and Spirit of God moved. All of a sudden, he wakes up. The minute he wakes up, immediately he raises his hands and enters into worship with us. The minute he did that, first of all, his dad was a mess once that happened. I'm just put that out there. I was a mess. But then once I gathered myself, I told my wife, I said, we're going home tomorrow. As sure as I'm standing here, the very next day, they released us from the hospital. We got a text message from the infectious disease specialist who was there, who literally said, that was the hand of God that did that. That there's no other explanation. He had his appointment with a speech therapist on this past Thursday, and he's sitting in front of her. She sits back in her chair and she looks at him and she said, this is amazing. There is no way you should be sitting in front of me based off the report that I read concerning you. There's no way you should be sitting here. And literally after that, she said, I just need a hug. Now, can you guys give me a hug? And so with that said, I mean, she said, really, you guys don't have to come back here. There's really no need to. And she released him. He goes back to school tomorrow. And, you know, don't minimize the power of your words. You have what you say. And the minute this happened, we, as a family, bonded together. It's like, look, no, full recovery. Nothing less is a full recovery. And when we would send out updates and text messages, it was always the same, full recovery. And so him standing here, it's a team effort. I mean, the support that we got from the family here was impeccable. I mean, my wife got a phone call just yesterday from someone who's, you know, do you need anything? How's Devin doing? It's amazing. And the thing that gets you emotional, even more so, we knew he would be fine. We just believe God that way. But the thing that really stood out to us more than anything was the amount of support that we had in the midst of this. It was amazing. And to know that you're not doing life alone, that you've got a support system in times when you need it, not only in times of crisis, but even also in times of triumph, because we had the support then And now it's a celebration because now the miracle stands before us. Amen.
Yeah, awesome. Love you guys. Thank you. Love you, man. Proud of you. Come on. Love you guys. Thank you.
Come on, one more time. Isn't it awesome what God does, everybody? Come on, the devil's a liar. He's defeated. Come on, God's still doing miracles. Yeah. Still doing miracles. And so I hope that encouraged your faith. If you're struggling, you know somebody that's struggling even physically today, come on, our God's a healer. And I just felt in my spirit too, just, I think it's a Nahum. I want to say chapter 3. I can get you the right verse when I get down. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of this. And it says this, and the same affliction shall not rise up a second time. So that's the word. Done. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. Feel that. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit. Would you just bow your heads? I just want to pray for us. I just know every single one of us is something that God has asked us to do that maybe we haven't done yet. And I just want you to know that God is waiting. I love what Larry just said moments ago. He and his family, I watched all of them, their daughter, every one of them, just really protect and speak words of life. And maybe you've had enough negative around you. I'm just telling you, the thing I admired so much about their family is, man, the power of words and speaking God's word. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you right now. Hang on just a second, Jeremy. I just want to encourage you right now. All of this, just keep your heads bowed if you would. And I just want to ask you, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Because the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, is wooing, he's moving, he's talking, and it's time to respond. So all over this place, if you just say in here, man, that's me. That's me. I just know God's calling me out from the place of safe into the place of that faith zone. If that's you, would you just raise your hand where you're at? Say, man, Kyle, that was me. That's me. You were talking. Yeah. God was talking to me through that today. Yeah. All these hands. And if you're here this morning, I'm just encouraging you right now, take the step. Don't wait for another Sunday. My God, don't wait for another week. Don't wait for another semester of small groups. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you move over every life, every person in the name of Jesus. God, I speak your life. God, that you shift us into a place from safe into the faith zone today. That God, that we learn to continue to believe you and trust you with everything within us. And we declare today the chains must fall. Break the chains that bind us, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, and that hold us back from the life that you've purposed us to live. In the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, move in us. In Jesus' name. And if you're here and you don't know Christ, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you're in a place that, man, you've just fallen away from God, don't even know how you got there, I just want you to mean this prayer and say this with me with everything within you. Just say something like this. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Today is a new day. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give God a great big hand this morning.